Welcome to the Divided Kingdom. It's October 20th. This is Lou Caroli. My co-host, Elizabeth Cuppard Caroli, and I are bringing you tonight's continuation in our ominous October series. And we open with a bombshell headline. Austin University creates new COVID bioweapon with 80% kill rate. Naturalnews.com picked up this story from the UK Daily Mail. We'll be reporting more as this story develops, and the world is aghast at such horror. What we know so far seems to be that BU, that is Boston University, researchers have combined a spike protein from the Omicron strain with the original Wuhan coronavirus, and they're creating a new super strain that kills 80% of mice upon exposure. Dr. Richard E. Bright of Rutgers University states, quote, "The research is a clear example of gain-of-function research," unquote. BU's departments involved include the Department of Biochemistry, the Department of Microbiology, the Pulmonary Center, and Department of Medicine. And apparently also involved are the Cleveland Clinic, Florida Research and Innovation Center, Harvard Medical School, and Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. BU is one of over a dozen BSL-3 laboratories in the U.S., most of which have suffered lapses in containment at one time or another. We must heed this emergency alert.
And Lou, this is Elizabeth, and you know, listeners of the Divided Kingdom, that we are trying to bring you the absolute cutting-edge truth. And it's getting murkier and murkier about the idea of what the venomous, and I choose that word carefully, aspects of the COVID clot shot were. It looks to us as though there may have been about three possible things that are part of it. And Lou, you may remember that gentleman's name we heard on the Stu Peters show, the one who is sick, and he is a microscopy expert, and he is an electrical engineer. I don't know whether you remember his name, but he was a middle-aged person. And yes, actually, by examining all these vials for everything, he is sick, which is sad to know. But he thinks that there are possibly three or four things going on. And so lately, we've been highlighting about Karen Kingston. And she has come out to say that basically there's really one big thing going on, and that is the AI, the artificial intelligence, trying to make us all into the robots. And I believe it was this other doctor, this electronics expert and microscopy expert, who said in his opinion there are only two outcomes: that the deep state, the new world order, the global police state, medical martial law police state want, and that is either to kill us or to harness us to the cloud. Now, either outcome is horrific for humanity. And when we hear some people minimizing the vaccine's virus component, we really do have to think about Dr. Judy Mikovits and her discussion that leukemia mice viruses were in the shot. And we know about Dr. Luc Montagnier, the late Dr. Luc Montagnier, that he found what he thought were fragments of HIV. Now, to Lou and me, that suggests there was a viral component, doesn't it, Lou?
Yes, would seem to be a sure thing. Yes.
Yes. So we have to be careful. We don't want to say it's all or nothing. Then we have the snake venom. And, of course, those of you who were listening last week heard that long radio monologue with all the detailing. It's very, very impressive, all the kinds of documentation about the use, possibly, of snake venom, the crate venom, the cobra, the king cobra, and the crate cobra venom. So we have to always be examining everything new that we hear. Is it a decoy away from the real truth? And, you know, I said to you, Lou, it was pretty impressive that Dr. Bing was killed with, I forget how many shots, did we say 15? Something like that,
something
wasn't
like
it?
That.
And what was the University of Pitt doing? They were establishing that there was venom in things. And, of course, you and I also noted what you talked about, that a program was suppressed. The Stu Peters program that elongated the commercials to where they did not have the panel discussion with Dr. Brian Artis. Dr. Brian Artis, who brought out the documentary Watch the Water and had all this documentation about the cobra venom and also the possibility of freeze-dried cobra venom being in remdesivir. So we are reporting what we find, and we know that we're doing our best to hold our minds open and be skeptical. That's what we have to do till we really have more proof. Go ahead, Lou.
And I should say that last week on the shortwave only, not on the online program for WWCR.
And that is The Divided Kingdom.
Right.
And let's tell the listeners right now again to tell others to go to our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Again, DividedKingdomRadio.com.
That's so right, yes. So last week, the shortwave had a little glitch, and it omitted our opening remarks in which we read aloud the wonderful listener letter that told us we were the best program to get truthful news. Thanks again to that kind listener who may not have heard our program.
Yes, Lou, and that listener gave us a greatly needed donation. We're still in a financial time of great stress to stay on the air. We only have about 2 weeks till we will need to pay WWCR the whole amount for November. Thanks to several of you who stepped up this week with some kind donations, we are heading toward the right way. And we got some stamps from some of you. The Pennsylvania doctor we ask you to keep praying for even anticipated the Christmas season with some lighthearted little elf stamps. So if you can help us, any amount of cash would be very helpful to us. A money order. You don't even need to give your name. You can send it anonymously, a money order to us, or to made out directly to WWCR. And you could send a check made out to either WWCR or to Global Star Communications. Again, it's Global Star Communications. And you can mail this to Lou Caverly, capital C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, capital B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland, 21609. And again, that's Lou Caverly at P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609.
Tonight, we go right into the part of ominous October we promised last week to cover. The WHO's attempts to bring in a world forced vaccine medical police state. Go to our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com, and under Breaking News, read both radio monologues for October 13th. Tonight, we bring you more police state Gestapo news, and then we look at the Halloween time spiritual police state being set up by Satan and his cohorts. And Elizabeth, I think we turn it over to you now.
Yes, I think that we kick this off with an article from the Gateway Pundit. Now, sabotage, as we told you last week, as in the Nord Stream pipeline event, is only one element in Satan's toolbox. Under Biden, the police state is tightening even more than under the years of abomination, his era. Some say it's still his era, too. This is by Joe Hoft, October 7, 2022, the Gateway Pundit, Breaking. Joe Biden rescinds 2014 Obama-era executive order on wiretapping and bulk data collection, replaces with more restrictive language. Joe Biden, on Friday, quietly rescinded executive branch rules on wiretapping and bulk data collection. The new orders were originally thought to allow for more data collection, but that may not be the case. Lawyer Will Chamberlain shared the news on Twitter and provided his analysis of Biden's actions. Will Chamberlain, quote, they rescinded a 2014 executive order that constrains wiretapping and bulk data collection, and simultaneously put in place a new one that is even more restrictive. Biden eliminated wording that said, quote, the United States shall not collect signals intelligence for the purpose of suppressing or burdening criticism or dissent, and that SIGINT should be collected only when there is an intelligence or counterintelligence purpose.
And this is about as ominous as October gets. The headline, Unethical Wuhan Virology Bioweapons Experiments May Be Moving to Boston, Massachusetts, with new grants issued to Peter Daszak and COVID-19 conspirators. This was Friday, September 9th. By Lance Johnson at Natural News.
Now, Lou, it seems as though that dovetails with your emergency opening news, doesn't it?
It does very much, yes.
Yes.
It all interconnects.
Go ahead.
The very network of people who offshored gain-of-function coronavirus experiments in Wuhan, China, are now the people getting financial rewards and bringing similar controversial virology research back to the United States. Boston University will receive a $1 million grant to take on unethical gain-of-function virology research at their controversial biosafety level 4 facility.
Bingo! There it is.
Yep, there it is.
And you know what, listeners, if we don't stand, if you don't tell more people about our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com, and the word does not spread, then we will have the WHO World Medical Martial Law, in which the forced injections will come, because we already have Biden departments supporting this. We have the Cures Act, we have HHS, we have the DOD. So, you know, this can't be anything more important than your future lives. And if you want to help us stay on the air, do please send something to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. So now, this big bioweapons level facility, and I guess Fort Detrick is one of those. There are many others, aren't there, in the United States?
Oh, yes. Yes. Fort Detrick is probably one of the very highest levels that there is.
Yes. So now what about Peter Daszak and this funding for the gain-of-function research at BU?
Yes. The grant is being awarded through U.S. National Science Foundation Predictive Intelligence for Pandemic Prevention Phase 1 Research Program. And here's the subheadline, COVID-19 co-conspirators.
Oh, haven't we come a fur distance? You know, when you were in high school, you told on another program which interested that very astute listener who criticized us for saying that we would murder adults before children, when we never said that. But at any rate, he was interested in your idea there that when you were in high school, you had the New York Times, and wasn't it provided free or something for your class?
Yes, we had it daily on weekdays. We didn't have to pay a penny for it.
Yes, and you see there, you were such a keen math student and a keen science student that didn't you actually get a grant to come to Maryland to do your graduate work from that science foundation?
Yes, that's how I happened to be coming to Maryland. It changed my whole life's pattern. And because I had scored fairly high, I guess, on a test I had to take as a senior in college, all of a sudden I got an offer. It wasn't exactly a fellowship. I didn't quite make the top grade, but it was a good offer from the University of Maryland, tuition-free, to go to their graduate school.
Now, we find that very interesting because, you see, God Almighty has control over time, events, centuries go by, the evil men of one era pass on, and then other evil men pick up the baton. All of those things are happening, but God has final control. And at the time you got that offer, not every institution in the world had gone bad. And there was still good being done for a promising young American math student. But God knew what was going to come down the road farther. And he knew that he had to bring you to Maryland just as he knew, there I was in West Virginia having a really nice time in Morgantown, and I was getting my master's degree in reading, and then a very courtly old gentleman who was at the head of the reading department, he said, you ought to switch. You had an assistantship. I was helping student teachers, and that helped to pay my tuition for my master's degree. He says, you ought to switch over to our reading department because that's what you're really going to go on in, and I hope you'll get your doctorate someday. So I took that advice. And here, all of a sudden, at the end of the summer, there were budget cuts, and that same old gentleman said, I'm so sorry, because I had transferred. I had transferred from the student teaching program. We don't have an assistantship. And I thought, oh, dear, my whole future would change. I had to go somewhere to work. So I thought, well, I wonder what about Maryland. So I came to Maryland very unexpectedly. God pulled the reins on Lou and on me and turned us in a whole different direction. And then, of course, I found an apartment and lived in it. And Lou came to Maryland earlier, about a year earlier than I did. And then his landlady got sick, and he had to look for a place to live. So he was going to one apartment, and the woman was out on her lunch hour. So he just thought he'd check another one, and that was where yours truly lived. So you see, God had to bring us to the state. He had to get us into the same apartment building where we would become friends and eventually marry. Then he had to bring us out to the eastern shore of Maryland. So God has been putting all these chess pieces in place. And so, you see, here we are. Here we are. We never dreamed we would really be warning something so horrific, so evil to all of you. But again, Stu Peters is bringing out that new movie, Died Suddenly. And he's featuring now, every day on his program, someone who did die suddenly. And Lou, we heard this horrible story of a mother who had her only son, and he was 29. And because he believed in authority, he believed in the old traditional medical system, he was naive. All these people were so naive, being led to the slaughter. He got the shot. I think he got two, didn't he?
Yes, I think so.
Maybe even the booster.
Yeah,
sure.
It might even have been the booster.
And so at any rate, 2 weeks after that, he was sitting at his computer and he dropped dead. Now, we also have been hearing that 5G is really working in tandem to turn on these operating systems. And it might be that, I don't know. I'm not an electrical engineer, but he was sitting working on the computer. And we know that Matt Taylor down in Ecuador has done these experiments in which the mRNA biocircuitry operating systems seem to dissolve when it's unplugged from the internet. And then when it's put back, and this was material that he saw in the vials of these systems. So when he plugs it back in, then it reassembles. And I just wondered whether that much being using the internet could have had some influence in bringing everything to a head and killing this young man. But we really do pray for those who were bullied into getting the shots and who did not know. Their pastors didn't tell them. But Lou and I are glad we're here, and we've had a lot of satanic opposition, a great deal. A lot of health effects on me, particularly. But at the same time, God restores us, and he watches over us, and he sometimes is our physician. Sometimes it's better not to go to the hospital. Definitely, you don't want to be grabbed and given one of those tests and put on a ventilator and remdesivir. Well, anyway, we're going to move on into this police state, what we're facing right now, and we're glad we're with you. Lou, go ahead.
Now, here's the subheadline, COVID-19 co-conspirators, liars and bullies will enjoy more grants to continue their unethical experiments on the population. And it continues, the grant will enable the same dangerous virology research to continue. The same research that took place in the lead-up to the SARS-CoV-2 bioweapon release in 2019. It's also the same research that initiated an experimental vaccine program before a causative agent for a global pandemic was even isolated. This pre-planned mRNA experiment unleashed an engineered spike protein en masse for transcription in human cells, leading to historic medical malpractice and wrongful death across health systems worldwide. This new grant was investigated by NEIDL, and that, by the way, is, again, this Boston University BU facility, Level 4 facilities. The full name is the National Emerging Infectious Diseases Laboratories. So that was investigated by Associate Director of this Level 4 lab, Naheed Badilia, who was one of the co-conspirators pushing harmful propaganda during the COVID-19 scandal. It's no wonder why Badilia allowed the grant to go through, given the fact that she collaborated with CDC Director Rochelle Walensky to promote lies in medical journals, saying that, quote, lockdowns decrease COVID-19 mortality, unquote, and that herd immunity is, quote, a dangerous fallacy unsupported by scientific evidence, unquote. Johns Hopkins researchers thoroughly rebuked Walensky and Badilia in a literature review and meta-analysis on the effects of lockdowns on populations. Badilia still goes around accepting grants instead of being investigated, admonished, and removed from her position. Scientists working at the NEIDL in Boston will be handling the world's most deadly viruses, and they will continue the work of Dr. Peter Daszak from EcoHealth Alliance. Daszak was essentially the COVID-19 bagman who oversaw and reported on the development of killer SARS-like coronavirus bioweapons at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Dr. Peter Daszak was the beneficiary of several grants issued by Dr. Anthony Fauci at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, NIAID. These grants were funneled to Dr. Zheng Li Shi, the infamous Bat Lady, to conduct gain-of-function coronavirus spike protein experiments at the secretive, unaccountable biosafety Level 4 facility in Wuhan, China. One of the goals of this research was to develop profitable diagnostic tests, drugs, and mRNA sequences that could be mass-produced for annual vaccine programs. And continuing on now, let's see. Let's pray fervently for the Boston new grants, Peter Daszak and company, to be foiled completely. Attorney Tom Renz is a man after God's own heart, standing in the gap against this horrendous evil. And next we have this headline, groundbreaking lawsuit filed against Peter Daszak, Ralph Barrick, over SARS-CoV-2 gain-of-function research and hazardous release.
And there, that is Thomas Renz.
Yes.
Doing that. So I think we'll be watching that very much. You know, everything is in play here, good against evil. We'll be really watching it. But we know that heinous crimes against children and all of humanity have been committed. So moving on from that, Lou, we now go, we're looking again at the police state and the kind of vice that's coming on all of us. The Gateway Pundit, Jim Hoft, October 8th. PayPal's new policy will fine users $2,500 directly from their accounts if they spread, quote, misinformation. In its newly updated policy, PayPal will begin fining users $2,500 directly from their accounts if they are found to be spreading, quote, misinformation. 6 months after Joe Biden's inauguration in 2020, PayPal changed its policy, and users were compelled to agree to a $2,500 PayPal fine if they violated the PayPal acceptable use policy. Starting November 3, 2022, PayPal is expanding the existing list of prohibited activities to include the sending, posting, or publication of messages, content, or materials under its acceptable use policy. Violation of this acceptable use policy constitutes a violation of the PayPal user agreement and may subject you to damages, including liquidated damages of $2,500 U.S. dollars per violation, which may be debited directly from your PayPal account as outlined in the user agreement, said PayPal. Users will be subject to a financial penalty if they violate the revised policy in any way, including by spreading false information, engaging in discrimination against the LGBTQ community, posing a risk to user safety, and so on. PayPal has been on a ban-a-thon recently and has terminated the accounts of a number of campaign organizations. These organizations include the Gay Against Groomers. Now, we know what that means. Groomers are those folks who are trying to have sex with the little children, and they're grooming them with all these drag queen story hours and things like this. So these organizations include the Gay Against Groomers, the Free Speech Union, Legal Activists, Law or Fiction, and the parenting group Us for Them. It can be recalled that the Gateway Pundit and Jim Hoft were banned from PayPal on the last day of 2021 without warning. The Gateway Pundit is one of the top 250 websites in the U.S. today and had over 900 million page views in 2021. We continue to grow despite constant attacks, smears, limited social media, and lawsuits. Gays Against Groomers, a group against the sexualization of children, announced on Twitter that they were permanently suspended from payment processors PayPal and Venmo. PayPal UK has recently terminated the accounts of several advocacy groups, including the Free Speech Union, the legal advocacy group Law or Fiction, the parents advocacy group Us for Them, and even journalist and FSU founder Toby Young's personal account, Beta News reported. Users have expressed their outrage over PayPal's action and called for a boycott on the social media platform Twitter using the hashtag BoycottPayPal. In July, Governor Ron DeSantis announced his intention to expand his war on woke ideology to include financial institutions, including banks and credit card companies, and money transfer services like PayPal. Credit card firms and money transfer services would be prohibited from, quote, discriminating against customers on the basis of their political or religious beliefs under the proposals, which DeSantis said would comprise a combination of legislative and executive initiatives, Tampa Bay reported.
And we have this update from Natural News, October 17th, 2022, by Ethan Huff. Fact check. PayPal has not rescinded its policy of looting user accounts for thousands of dollars when they don't like what you say. Confusion is circulating right now about PayPal's new misinformation policy that allows the company to steal $2,500 per infraction from a user's account. PayPal says recent updates to its acceptable use policy were done in error, but Brian A. Wilkins, from the COVID blog, says this is a lie. Wilkins is involved in an ongoing arbitration dispute with PayPal, which claims he owes the company $380,000 for, quote, spreading misinformation, unquote, via his blog. Wilkins is representing himself, he says, and the arbitration is ongoing. In an attempt to salvage what remains of the failing company, a PayPal spokesperson announced to several media outlets that the new looting policy, quote, went out in error, unquote. This person added, quote, PayPal is not fining people for misinformation, and this language was never intended to be inserted in our policy. We're sorry for the confusion this has caused, unquote. PayPal continued to spam Wilkins' email inboxes and harass him after terminating his business relationship. Wilkins writes, quote, anyone who speaks truth and displays critical thinking skills regarding the lethal injections and those ridiculous masks gets deplatformed by big tech, unquote. He went on to say, but since I was expecting the ban, it was no big deal. PayPal, however, continued filling my email inbox daily with spam messages like, quote, your payment didn't go through, and you can't have your money, unquote. Wilkins says he responded to two of these emails demanding that PayPal stop spamming his account, since the company had already terminated its business relationship with him. But the spam continued. Wilkins then probed PayPal's electronic communications delivery policy, in which it states that email spam such as this is a violation. Wilkins wrote another email demanding that the spam stop or else he was going to sue. But it still continued. He says, quote, it was only after I served a notice of claim on PayPal Incorporated in Glendale, California, that the spam emails finally stopped, at least temporarily, unquote. And he went on to say, but now I was demanding damages of over $100,000 for breach of contract and violations of California Business and Professions Code number 17529 at Sequence. PayPal is a Delaware corporation with its principal place of business in San Jose, California, unquote.
And now here's another disturbing story of police state prowess, Lou. LifeSite News by Jane Mondor. This is Friday, September 30th, 2022. FBI charges pro-life priest with violating abortion access law 1 week after Mark Houck raid. The incident, which led to the charges against Father Fidelis Mosinski, took place on July 7th in Hempstead, New York. A pro-life priest and Red Rose rescuer was arrested by the FBI yesterday and charged with violation of the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, FACE. The incident, which led to the charges against Father Fidelis Mosinski, took place on July 7th. There, at Hempstead, New York, the priest blocked the entrance to a Planned Parenthood facility by placing six locks and chains on the gates, as previously reported by LifeSite News. He lay on the ground in the driveway and went limp as police officers carried him away. He was charged with disorderly conduct for, quote, obstructing vehicular traffic. However, yesterday's charges were escalated to a potential violation of the FACE Act. And again, we remember the FACE Act was Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act. For the past 3 months, the priest has been serving a jail sentence for another rescue he conducted in White Plains, New York. Christopher Bell of Good Counsel, a ministry to support homeless, pregnant women, and support men and women after abortion, spoke to LifeSite News today about Father Fidelis's arrest. Quote, he was being released in the morning yesterday, and I got a call from him about 8 o'clock saying that the FBI have shown up. They are taking him into custody, and they are charging him with FACE violations related to an incident at Planned Parenthood in Hempstead, New York, Bell told LifeSite News.
Biden's police state is becoming very nearly full-fledged persecution of Christians, it seems. It was not enough to have 25 to 30 FBI agents coming in 15 vehicles to terrorize Mark Houck, his wife, and children in their house. No, now we have Tricky Dick-type twisting and outright lies in order to destroy an individual by Biden's DOJ federal indictment. This also was from LifeSite News. The headline, Biden DOJ charges pro-life dad Mark Houck for alleged offense not found in the original complaint. The Biden administration is accusing a pro-abortion activist of even more than his pro-abortion accuser did. And this was by Calvin Freiberger, Friday, October 7th. Houck is the founder and president of the King's Men, which promotes healing for victims of pornography addiction and promotes Christian virtues among men in the United States and Europe. He also drives 2 hours south to Philadelphia every Wednesday to sidewalk counsel for 6 to 8 hours at two different abortion centers. According to Houck's family, outside of the centers last year, Houck pushed 70-year-old pro-abortion activist Bruce Love, who had been harassing his then 12-year-old son. The family says Houck shoved the man away to protect the child from Love, who was verbally hostile and had intruded on his personal space. And then Love fell down, although he was uninjured. The altercation, a local matter that had long since been tossed out of court when Love failed to appear for the hearing, somehow drew the interest of the U.S. Justice Department, DOJ, under President Joe Biden and Attorney General Merrick Garland, which in the morning of September 23rd sent a team of 25 to 30 FBI agents and around 15 vehicles to swarm their property. Weapons drawn, quote, they started pounding on the door and yelling for us to open it, according to Mark's wife, Ryan Marie. Frightening their children, the agents arrested Houck and took him away, charging him with violating the federal Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances, or FACE Act, due to a claimed, quote, attack of a patient escort, unquote. This week, the Federalist senior legal correspondent Margot Cleveland obtained and reviewed a copy of Love's private criminal complaint, revealing key discrepancies between it and the current federal indictment. Whereas the Biden Justice Department alleges two instances of Houck shoving Love, one of which occurring while the latter attempted to escort two Planned Parenthood patients, Love's original complaint only alleges one instance that occurred while he was, quote, waiting for clients, unquote, with no mention of escorting anyone. While it is not yet clear where the new claim about escorts, which Thomas More Society Vice President and Senior Counsel Peter Breen calls absolutely false, came from, it appears to be the key to claiming the incident falls under federal jurisdiction, as without Love being interrupted in performing escort duties, Houck's shove cannot be construed as an attempt to interfere with clinic access, as protected by the FACE Act. Cleveland also noted that, per a letter Republican senators sent to FBI Director Chris Wray, the FBI raid was doubly unnecessary because, 3 months beforehand, Thomas More Society lawyer Matt Heffron had informed the assistant U.S. attorney, Anita Eve, that Houck would appear voluntarily to face the charges. But Eve never replied, until writing to notify Heffron that Houck had been taken into custody after the raid. The story of Houck's plight has gone viral since LifeSite News broke it, eliciting outrage from elected Republicans and grassroots conservatives over the Biden administration's persecution of a committed pro-lifer and lack of comparable action against a months-long wave of pro-abortion violence, as well as the worsening internal culture of federal law enforcement.
Well, Lou, the only hopeful note in all this is kind of a real surprise to the good. This headline from Natural News, Friday, October 7th, by Mary Villarreal. Lawmakers demand explanation about over-the-top FBI arrest of Mark Houck. Senator Steve Daines, Republican of Montana, described the FBI's arrest and treatment of Houck as chilling. In a press release, his letter sought an explanation for the excessive level of force involved in Houck's arrest and why federal law enforcement dipped its hands in a matter involving only the state and local government. The American people deserve answers, he wrote. Instead of allowing for a local resolution of the dispute, the FBI nationalized the matter by using excessive force with an early morning raid at gunpoint in front of young children. Representative Chip Roy, Republican of Texas, meanwhile, condemned U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland for overseeing, quote, an increasingly politicized FBI, end of quote, that seems to be, quote, hell-bent on making examples of average American citizens whose politics do not align with that of the Biden administration. In Houck's case, it is very well known that his home was raided by about 25 to 30 FBI agents whose guns were drawn on a father of seven. According to the DOJ, Houck allegedly shoved a man in front of a Planned Parenthood abortion clinic on October 13, 2021. The pro-life activist, however, insisted that he was only defending his 12-year-old son from the man's encroachment. The Philadelphia Police Department confirmed the incident, but said no charges were filed and that Houck was not arrested. The Philadelphia District Attorney also declined to press charges. However, the case caught the DOJ's attention in May 2022, with the department informing Houck that he was being investigated by a grand jury for violating the FACE Act. And, of course, again, what Lou told you about the Thomas More Society, they said this was not a federal crime. We have controlling case law on that, strong defenses, but instead, they've taken an innocent man and made an example out of him, presumably to send a message to pro-life people and people of faith across this country. And we know that the name of this game is intimidation, the same way the FBI surrounded Patriot Mike Lindell at the Burger King in Mankato, Minnesota. It's just what the one man told him. I'm just doing my job. But now we must move on.
Next we have, from National File, Biden DOJ continues to target conservatives. Arrests 11 pro-life activists.
Will this police state ever stop? Will it slow down?
I hope maybe with the election a few weeks away that might make some difference. We shall see.
Now, go ahead, Lou. 11?
That's right. This is by Paul Aubert, October 6th. The Biden administration has continued weaponizing the Department of Justice to target conservatives and Trump supporters. The 11 pro-life activists were charged with violations of the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances, the FACE Act, a pro-abortion federal law. The group of pro-lifers allegedly prevented one clinic employee and one patient from entering a Tennessee abortion mill. Seven pro-lifers were charged with, quote, conspiracy against rights secured by the FACE Act, unquote. Four others were also indicted for FACE Act violations. The activists with the, quote, conspiracy against rights secured by the FACE Act charges could receive fines up to $250,000 and face up to 11 years in prison. The other four charged could face a year in prison and a $10,000 fine. The FACE Act interfered with employees attempting to enter abortion clinics, a federal crime, since that, quote, that person is a provider of reproductive health care, unquote. Prosecutors contest one of the activists, Jester Gallagher, said on a Facebook live stream that he and the activists with him are willing to be incarcerated if they can, quote, rescue families from this place of destruction, unquote. And then we have, from the Gateway Pundit, Biden's invasion. Disturbing video shows young illegal immigrant children who appear to have been drugged at the southern border. And I'll interject, this targeting of pro-life proponents by the Biden DOJ is really reprehensible. But here in ominous October, we are even more greatly alarmed by a Gateway Pundit expose. We all remember the top levels of the New World Order are rife with child trafficking, molestation, and even sacrificial murder. Was Pizzagate really not true? Hillary's joking tone about it told all we need to know. Podesta and spirit cooking and all of the gruesome hidden Congress in child murder and mayhem. And again, from the Gateway Pundit, Biden's invasion. Disturbing video shows young illegal immigrant children who appear to have been drugged at the southern border, by Julian Conradson, October 7th. In a very short time, Joe Biden has taken the most secure border in U.S. history and turned it into an absolute war zone that is being run by the cartels, which have made billions, and that's with a B, billions, trafficking people north. All in all, millions of illegals have come to the U.S. that we know of since Biden began providing housing, transportation, food, and even cash welfare to anyone who could illegally enter the country. Additionally, this open borders regime has provided even more guarantees and assistance to those who are able to make the journey with a child in tow, as Biden has promised so-called family units would not be turned away under virtually any circumstance, even if the family unit isn't really a family unit. Unfortunately, this terrible policy has led to a massive increase in child trafficking, with the cartels and illegal travelers fully aware that having a child with them will be, or will buy, and essentially expedited entry into the United States. Children are now at a greater risk than they have ever been on the southern border. And thanks to the hard work of citizen journalists, this burgeoning humanitarian crisis is coming to light. This week, InfoWars' Owen Scheuer released a horrifying video recorded recently by independent journalist Anthony Acaro that shows a large group of illegal immigrants who had just crossed the border. At first glance, the large group looks like most others that come and is filled with what looks like so-called family units with exhausted children. However, upon closer inspection, things get really disturbing. As Acaro approaches the crowd and begins asking questions, it becomes obvious that something is very wrong with the children. They are virtually unresponsive and hardly moving, and all appear to be sedated with drugs. The children's pupils, of the eyes that is, did not react at all or dilate when a bright light was shining in their faces. They were completely out of it. Akira's companion can be heard saying in the video, "This is human trafficking at its finest." And you can watch via Anthony Acaro, Border Network News. This disturbing scene, according to Acaro, has become a common occurrence on the southern border as drugs, such as the date rape drug Rohypnol, help control unruly children who are being trafficked by the cartels and their customers. And from InfoWars, we have this quote. In Roma, Texas, Acaro and other journalists are seeing an uptick in children being used by illegals to get automatic entry since they are accompanying a minor. He said this is happening in Arizona as well, and many times the adults are not even related to the children. The children are often drugged upon arrival, potentially with a date rape drug, Rohypnol.
Lou, I think that might be Rohip, like hypnotize.
Oh,
I was looking
that
at that,
be.
Too. We don't
yes.
know. We're just surmising.
Yes, that's right.
The pronunciation of it.
Yes. So the children appear to be sleepy and can answer questions about their alleged guardians, Nesson quotes guardians, bringing them across the border. Acaro said many women who make it into America report being robbed, raped, and beaten on the Mexico side of the border just before making it into the United States. What's happening to these children is what a true humanitarian crisis looks like, and yet there are crickets from the fake news media. No AOC border trips or crocodile tears for these kids. So much for caring about this issue. Dems, there is nothing compassionate about policies that encourage harm to children. This is a shocking, I believe we have a word left out there, this is shocking, and it's being allowed to continue and being indirectly supported by the open borders Biden regime. It's unacceptable on every level. In reality, the well-being of illegal aliens is nothing more to the progressive left than a political cudgel to use only when expedient for the radical agenda. So unfortunately, there is little to no end in sight right now for the chaos on the southern border. The America Last Biden regime has only opened the floodgates even more heading into the midterm elections. And with multiple states, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Hawaii, Illinois, Maryland, Nevada, New Mexico, Utah, Vermont, and Washington signing on to give illegal IDs in the form of driver's licenses, it's no secret why. This madness must come to an end. Biden is completely inverting his oath of office.
Yes, and Lou, we're here at Halloween time in October, the ominous October of 2022, and of course Satan wants to kill the children. It's not really giving out candy to children. This horrific thing you've just told us about, this drugging of the children, it's not just the only kind of offense toward children. You know, I once told you, Lou, that, as I said earlier in the program, that almost every institution in America, and now I guess the world, has gone bad. And during the COVID shots, we had the AMA, the American Medical Association, and the College of American Obstetricians and Gynecologists, they were giving approval for pregnant women to get the COVID clot shots. And they were saying it was perfectly safe, but we know about all the miscarriages and the fetal death, the fetal injuries. But Satan loves to have this child sacrificed. So now the AMA shocks us again. Friday, October 7th, 2022, Ethan Huff at Natural News. AMA goes all in with child mutilations, wants DOJ, that's Department of Justice, to prosecute those who try to save children from gender-mutilating surgeries. The American Medical Association, AMA, is calling on the Department of Justice, DOJ, to investigate and prosecute any entity, either corporate or individual, that dares to expose the transgender mutilation practices of woke hospitals across America. In a joint letter penned and signed by the American Association of Pediatrics, AAP, and the Children's Hospital Association, CHA, the AMA begged Attorney General Merrick Garland to take aim at anyone who says mean things about hospitals that perform LGBT surgical procedures, particularly against children. Representing over 270,000 physicians and 220 children's hospitals across the country, the AMA, AAP, and CHA claim that those opposed to the transgender mutilation of children are engaged in an, quote, intentional campaign of disinformation, end of quote, that is causing some health care providers to be, quote, targeted and threatened, end of quote. Quote, these coordinated attacks threaten federally protected rights to health care for patients and their families. The letter states, related article, remember when the AMA was pushing for transgenders to be sent to the front lines of war? Quote, the attacks are rooted in an intentional campaign of disinformation where a few high-profile users on social media share false and misleading information targeting individual physicians and hospitals, resulting in a rapid escalation of threats, harassment, and disruption of care across multiple jurisdictions.
Chopping up children's body parts is a, quote, big moneymaker, unquote, according to Vanderbilt University Medical Center. The trio of medical organizations wants big tech, especially, that is, Google, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, to go after people and organizations that blow the lid on gender-affirming care. That's in quotes, gender-affirming care, and what it means for children's bodies. The goal is to censor and deplatform, followed by investigate and prosecute. The letter further reads, quote, our organizations have called on technology companies to do more to prevent this practice on digital platforms. And we now urge your office to take swift action to investigate and prosecute all organizations, individuals, and entities responsible, unquote. Christopher F. Ruffo, a Manhattan Institute fellow and City Journal writer, is one such person who is being targeted by the witch hunt. He told Fox News' Laura Ingraham that no matter what the AMA and others throw at him, he will not back down reporting the truth. And this is a quote. I have a message for Attorney General Merrick Garland. You can threaten us. You can mobilize the FBI against us. You can drag us out of our homes in a pre-dawn raid. But we are not going to stop reporting on radical gender surgeries on minors, Ruffo said and tweeted. The AMA says it has no...
Bravo!
Yes, I agree with that. The AMA says it has no plans to back down in pursuing people like Ruffo, who challenge its, quote, dedication to the health and well-being of children and adolescents, unquote, which includes supporting and providing what they call, quote, gender-affirming care, unquote. Neither the AMA nor any of the entities it is defending, care one iota about the health and well-being of children and adolescents, it turns out. As revealed by a physician from Vanderbilt University Medical Center in Nashville, horrific gender surgeries on children such as hysterectomies, mastectomies, and vaginoplasties are a, quote, big moneymaker, unquote, particularly because they require, quote, a lot of follow-ups, unquote.
Many transgenders with regret would argue against the, quote, health and well-being line as well. Their bodies are now permanently destroyed because they bought the lie that mutilating their genitals and destroying their endocrine systems is the way to embrace one's, quote, true self. Quote, I'm just really concerned for younger girls and boys being led down the path and being hurt by it, stated Helena Kirshner, a transgender with regret who is now attempting to detransition to Fox News' Tucker Carlson during a recent segment. Will the DOJ capitulate to the AMA's demands? There is a very real possibility that the AMA will get its way. If any of the DOJ's recent actions under Joe Biden are any indication, the DOJ steamrolled the Constitution by persecuting the January 6th, quote, insurrectionists, for one. The federal agency is also now targeting parents who speak up against critical race theory, CRT. Pro-life activists are also finding themselves in the crosshairs of the DOJ, which seems willing to go after anyone who defies the agenda of the current regime. Congress needs to investigate the AMA with appropriate sanctions on the table, wrote another. Stop giving them the respect they no longer deserve. Another reiterated the fact that this is, quote, all about the money, as transgender mutilation is a high-profit endeavor. Quote, back in the day, they would all have been thrown in prison, this person added about those trying to defend and push the transgender mutilation of children. And so you see, these things that would have been anathema to church members back in, say, the 1700s, 1800s, early 1900s, where has America gone? The portals of hell have opened, and we're here looking especially at the travesties, the horrors done to children. Lou, I looked at a picture of that one little boy lying there drugged on the border. It was really, really terrifying to see. And now we have on the surface all these nice little things for occult October. How about Massachusetts and the witches?
Yes, we have this from a website called Stylecaster. 15 things to do in Salem, Massachusetts during October, especially if you're feeling witchy.
And I guess we're probably going to have to save that, aren't we?
Yes.
And at the same time, we will be getting into this more next week. We have from Forbes, occult cocktails and tarot readings are coming to this iconic London hotel, and that's the Kempton Fitzroy London. And apparently there were figures from the past in Victorian London who frequented this kind of hotel. Sylvia Pankhurst, Oscar Wilde, Ted Hughes, and more. These world figures who are following no laws. They slept with all of their friends' wives. They went to secret society meetings. This has been going on for hundreds of years. Look at the new news about Benjamin Franklin, member of the Hellfire Club, when they dug up those bones under the residence where he lived in England. Probably a mass murderer. Nothing is new under the sun, but we're going to bring you everything we can that we can locate that's true, and we're going to bring you the hope that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is in control, and he will hear our prayers. Good night.